Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Wednesday, June the 24th, 2026. 16 coming up on 17 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. Do want to remind everybody, Red, White, and You Weekend, America 250, coming up Thursday, July the 16th, 4:30 p.m., Downtown's Third Thursday goes Red, White, and Blue. Friday, July the 17th at 3 p.m., it's Etowah's Grand Homecoming. 4 p.m., Homecoming Picnic at the Harding Library and Museum. Saturday, July the 18th, 10:30 a.m., Replaying Ceremony at the Harding Memorial. 12 p.m. on Saturday, OHIO, What a Celebration Birthday Block Party at the Exploratorium. 7:30 p.m., Marty Stewart and his Fabulous Superlatives at the Palace Theater. Sunday, July the 19th, 2 p.m., Old Fashioned Ice Cream Social at the Women's Club Home. And 7 p.m. on the 19th of July, Concert in the Park with United in Harmony at McKinley Park. That's Red, White, and You, weekend at America 250. Has anybody come across anything about Etowah's Grand Homecoming, 3 p.m. Friday, July 17th. I'm still not sure what that is or where it is or so on and so forth. So if anybody gets any information on that, please feel free to let me know. 740-383-9944. Well, the phone lines are open here this morning. We would love to hear from you. A lot of topics out there from well, our first call this morning about the CHIP rehab grant not being applied for by the city. Now, there could be a good reason for this. We do not have the reason yet, but it's to rehab houses and help pay for, homes, things of that nature, rents. So hopefully we'll find out why the city did not apply for that. It may be there was not a whole lot of money there. It wasn't able to be done. There's a lot of reasons this might not have happened. And if anybody knows the reason for that, it came from a call that kicked off the program this morning. Feel free to let us know. 740-383-9944. Now, if you've got anything to say in regard to the tornado sirens, the emergency alert sirens, or the flock cameras, or the curbside recycling, all these issues that were talked about Monday night at City Council, feel free to weigh in on that. A lot of people seem to be upset about the loss, possibly, of the sirens, even though currently they are all still working. The flock cameras staying around. The city doesn't have to pay anything for those. And recycling, at this point, going away on July the 5th. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
Good.
Hey, I just want to pick on my friend Naomi a little bit on her perspective. I agree with I don't know Naomi's age. I think she's like in the 30-plus crowd somewhere in there. From her perspective and the younger perspective, you know, technology is where it's all at, and I agree with her on many of her points, and she has very valid points, but, you know, we all have to keep up with technology and, you know, stay in the game and all that. But then, you know, from a different perspective is the old school people that I talk to and around, and, you know, I don't consider myself like old school, you know, I'm kind of OG middle school, but, you know, the older school people they're tired of the technology. You know, they've tried the smartphones and, you know, the passwords, and they don't trust it because they're, you know, worried about getting scammed and worried about getting their money taken. And these are all valid issues too. So many people are actually getting away from the technology. You know, I mean, like Naomi says, you know, like everybody's got a TV, but, you know, if the TV goes out, if the electricity goes out, which happens in tornadoes, and prior to, because the tornadoes are coming towards you or whatever, you lose that warning system. The siren system is, for back in the day, was kind of a simple, you know, keep it simple kind of thing, you know, and as you said, it's kind of about having that, this is a short-term event that's about to pass through or about to occur in your area. You don't have days to prepare like you do for a storm. I think it was a, in my, you know, from my understanding, a lot of the sirens was a, you know, piggyback from the early warning system for the missile systems. You know, if Russia launched a missile against us, you know, after the Cuban Missile Crisis, we only had minutes from once detection was, you know, took place to where you could get to your bomb shelter, because so many people went and had bomb shelters installed and built and this and that. You know, so they thought, wow, we've got to, you know, we can piggyback on that. And the sirens are a very simple, you know, a very loud noise. I can hear them in my house. Not always, but it's a muffle, but it gets your attention. It's like a horn, and it gets your attention, and we were taught over the years from, you know, this is a test of the early broadcast system, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, we were conditioned, and we were taught, you hear that sound, you didn't wait for the words to come, you took cover. You knew something bad was going to happen. You didn't run to get your cell phone and then have to open it up with your fingerprint, and your hands are dirty, and it won't open, or you can't get your PIN number to work because everybody's got their phones blocked and pinned because they don't know why looking at their phones when they're, you know, because everybody's sneaking in everybody's phones. So there's all kinds of breakdowns in that system. I would just offer that I think what we get in these conversations is debate. We get people, you know, talking about different, you know, here's my perspective, here's a different perspective, and probably the solution is going to be a combination of hers, mine, and your perspective, and finding a balance of what's cost-effective, what's actually effective, you know, to the people. I just think it goes all back to is that we don't have to be all this or all nothing. One other just thing to offer is that, you know, as far as funding, you know, I hear a lot of good things. I think it's the Marion Community Foundation or something like that, you know, and they do a lot of grants and a lot of, but they donate money. And, you know, I would think this would fall in line as a perfect candidate for maybe receiving this, because it's something that, I mean, people that are old enough to remember Xenia, Ohio, and Cardington and things like that, that, you know what, if what better way to help your community is to help your community remain a community when a tornado's on its way.
Well, it's interesting. We're getting a message from one of our listeners this morning that says, I think the better technology has gotten, the worse things have gotten. Technology is bad, from one of our listeners this morning. And, you know, I hate to compare this to McDonald's this morning, but, you know, it is interesting. Years ago, McDonald's would not have been crippled to the point to where they could not almost operate this morning because their servers were down. Now, that's because they are relying so heavily on technology right now. Now, that's not life or death, but it just goes to show you when the technology goes out, it's very hard for a multi-billion dollar business like McDonald's to even still operate because people don't know. You know, they can't make change in drawers anymore. And I think that's very similar to this siren conversation. I mean, you can say we don't need sirens at all and just go look at the sky, but if you want any kind of warning, I don't know if you want the fail-safe to be technology at this point.
No, it's a very weak link, for sure. You know, as I said, I think you have to have a combination of technologies, old and new, and in my opinion, and what I've done and learned in life, that any solution that I ever come up with to a problem, I then gain that solution two or three or four or five steps ahead to see, well, how, you know, it works here and it works in the short term, but how does it work in the long term? And often you find that, you know, something that sounds real good, you know, as a quick term solution, as a reaction, a knee jerk, you know, in the long term ends up making everything worse.
Could be.
Good.
Well, hey, thank you for calling.
All right, thank you.
All right, again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you've got anything to say, feel free to buzz on in. It's just a conversation we're having here, and I think it's a good conversation to have here in the morning, 2 hours a day, every day, and maybe we'll get to the bottom of something at some point. I think the finances of this are the issue at this point. You know, we're talking about basically $55,000 to repair this system. Now, is this something people want? I don't know. Seems to be at this particular point. But as time goes along, I guess we'll find out. Phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 if there's anything on your mind. And again, I'm not saying technology is a bad thing. I'm just saying I think the more we become heavily reliant on technology, the more we're getting away from the basic problem-solving skills that we need to operate businesses and operate things in the community. And the further away we get from that, the worse off we're going to be on the whole. How many people say, well, I went into a restaurant and the person couldn't make change? Or somebody couldn't sign their name because they don't know how to write cursive? Well, you know, that's basically technology. You know, you don't have to write anymore because you type everything. How many kids can't text with their thumbs? Most of them can. They don't need to write in cursive because they're texting with their thumbs. They don't need to make change because now everybody's got a calculator on them because their cell phone has a calculator. Everybody's a photographer because we've all got phones with cameras on them. Everybody's a videographer because we've all got phones with video cameras. But is this the best way to go? That's the question. You have to operate off the basic fundamentals. You know, if you have a camera on your phone, that's fine. But if you are taking pictures at a wedding, you still need to take good pictures. Just because you have a phone camera on your phone doesn't make you a wedding photographer or somebody who should be paid to do that if you don't know how to take photos. And I think that's what we're talking about here. You know, you can have the technology, you can have a camera, it doesn't make you a photographer. You can have a video camera on your phone, that doesn't make you a videographer. You can type fast in a text message. It doesn't make you a journalist. You know, we have to still operate by what the standards are, because if we lose the standards, as they say, God help us. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If anybody's got anything to say, feel free to give us a buzz. Are you excited about any of these red, white, and blue, or red, white, and you weekend events for America 250? I think there's some excitement going on here. Looks like 4 days of fun, July 16th through the 19th. I don't know. Seems like fun. Let's see here. We're getting a message from one of our listeners out here this morning. I think people realize you can hear those warning sirens well outside of towns. Hold on a second here. Okay. Hang with me, caller, for a second. Somebody listening online. I don't think people realize that you can hear those warning signs well outside of towns. My parents live 15 miles from the nearest town. About 20 years ago, there was a tornado touchdown close to their house, and my dad was outside doing yard work, and when the sirens went off and he was able to find shelter quick. The more warning we have, the better chance of survival. Emergency sirens are just as vital as fire and police. Well, that's from a listener this morning. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott. Here's my little touch on it. I'm not going to dwell too long. But any time you try to get something fixed this day and age, they're out of business or they don't make those parts anymore and things like that. And they have an idea about what we got now on the sirens. Is there such a thing to go back to the manufacturer where these sirens come from and get a word from them and say, hey, would it be worth fixing these, or are they really shot, or what's going on? I'll tell you, when I was all of us that the age around in the 80s now, that especially guys, you could take your automobile when you bought a 1950 Ford, and you could change the plugs in it, and you could do this, and you could do that, and it was nothing to it. Today, I don't even know where the hood lock is on my hood. You know, you don't even get in the hood. Just teasing that I took auto mechanic, but I would have no clue about anything. So getting stuff repaired is really a costly thing if you can get it repaired. But I don't think that they keep parts and stuff for that. But, yeah, I think that there's other ways that people can be warned. And like they're getting, like you say, with the cell phones and stuff, there is a great majority of us that's got those. And I don't, only one, the only reason I got a cell phone is when I go out to work in the yard and stuff, and my wife has to go to the toilet or something, she just files that, and I hear it ring, and I go there. I paid for a cell phone, but I don't even talk on a cell phone. I don't even give anybody my phone number because I don't want anybody calling. That's just a really expensive safety device for me and my wife and our lifestyle. So, yeah, I just thought I'd put that in. It's tough to get anything fixed, and if you get it fixed, will it last very long? But the manufacturer thing is I was thinking about, maybe you can't even get it fixed. We argue about, well, let's get them fixed and how much money it costs and stuff like that.
Well, that's, so, it's a good point, but I do believe that the safety service director has said, because I think that's where these number amounts are coming from, that the total cost would be $240,000 to totally upgrade the system, but because of a grant, the city would only have to pay $60,000 to do that, and they've already got $5,000 in in-kind labor, so the total amount that the city would need to come up with to either overhaul these systems or replace what they have would be $55,000 right now.
And what kind of guarantee and what kind of lifestyle would you have after they've done that?
Well, I think pretty much the guarantee that they've had. I don't know the last time they were worked on. That would be interesting to know. They're all still working. That's a good sign.
The manufacturer, if you can get a hold of them, and if they got parts, and if the grant would come through, the grant come through, and if the money available, they don't have the parts and stuff. There's a lot of factors to look at that, and then lay that on the table and see what you come up with in dollars and cents. See?
Oh,
but saying all that they can do this and that, $250,000, that's a lot of money for a whistle to be blowing. We can get back down 14 guys that's got semis and put them corner around our county of Marion, and when one comes, just start getting together and honking the horn, you know, but nah, just teasing that kind of stuff. But there's other warning devices and stuff that you could have, but I think, like everybody's talked about the televisions and about the cell phones and about spreading the word of a thing and coming up in one section of the county, true to the fact, when they come fast and they can turn and develop fast Yeah, and I don't think any kind of warning device will help that. But
well, you know, I'm glad we're.
Hey, when the wind starts blowing and it's getting dark, well, you kind of want to get your mind thinking, get the kids gathered up, and let's see what's going to happen.
Well, you know what's interesting? Well, like our listener out there this morning, she said, you know, her dad was outside working, and he was not near the house, and he heard the siren, so he took cover, and there you go. And I think a lot of this stuff, I'm not saying it's not common sense that, you know, when the sky gets dark, this could be a bad sign, but you look at something like train crossings. Now, you would think that most people would look both ways before they pull up to a train crossing, but I'll tell you, the first time they would take down those barriers at the train crossing and somebody would get hit, they'd say, ah, see, there you go, you didn't have the barriers down.
Well, there, I can really tell and really know about railroad and being an engineer right up front where the action is, and you got control of the train and everything. It don't make no difference. I can be coming down through there at 30 mile an hour, and that isn't the great speed, but some of these places like Marion, they got the interlocking down there. That's a 35 mile an hour interlocking. We got two of them there, north, south, east, west. And the speed of a train going through there, they don't want those interlockings to go any faster than 35 mile an hour. Sometimes you see a train coming into town, they're putting on the air right there out, and they come in there across that interlocking, 35 mile an hour. So, there's a warning there. And then when they start blowing the whistle and stuff like that, people don't pay no attention to that. I don't know why they couldn't hear that, because it's devastating. I know how loud they are because I've whistled many and many and many thousands and thousands of times in the 20 years. We had 118 road crossings from Marion to Kent. And you blowed for every road crossing. There are 118 of them. And it's people listening. If you want to hear the train, listen to this. You hear two longs, a short, and a long. That's the whistle signal that we got recommended. You got to blow the whistle at each one of the crossings doing that. But that's a loud noise. And how many people are hit by them by trying to beat the train? That's all it was. They heard the whistle, but they thought they'd beat the train. But we can get on that railroad stuff. That's pretty different stuff about noise making. I go with the people, because I was on those engines for 20 years myself, and there was a lot of things come in front of your face. And one thing about it, if you kill somebody, they'll think, boy, that's terrible if you kill somebody. You can't stop the train. There ain't no way. They got the brakes and they got the emergency brakes, but you can't get them stopped quick enough to see that accident going to happen in front of it. And the only thing is, if you're an engineer there and the little kids, and I heard a couple engineers tell me, their two little kids had their little hands up over the windows and they're looking out the window when Dad pulled across the crossing and killed all of them, or the kids killed every one of them. Five, I think there was five people in the car, and I think the three kids got killed, and the parents were terribly injured and might have died later. But the engineer, every time he goes across that crossing, that runs through your mind, because I've been in a couple of them that seen them, but we didn't kill nobody, you know, just hit them, knocked them off the side. But you think about that every day. So it isn't just like an accident and you're just in a car, you know, and you don't see them guys got to go cross them crossings every day, you know, doing that. But anyhow, I got off on the wrong subject. But I think there's the find out material thing about what it's going to cost to fix them and how long there is, if there's any guarantee, and go from there. Bye.
Yep. Thank you. All right, and we're getting some messages here. By the way, the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. Another message from a listener out here this morning. Let's see here. How hard is it to look up and see a funnel cloud or storm cloud? Just be aware. Well, and again, I think that's back to the train idea. Well, you could probably see a train coming on the track. They're blowing the whistle. They're big. They make a lot of noise. But yet, we need crossings to stop people. If you're in a bus zone, you know, you would think you would know you're in a bus zone, a school zone. We got a big yellow bus there, but yet we got to have a stop sign come out on the side of it and signs that say slow loading and unloading area. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, I just, you know, when you're brainstorming or when you're debating something, it's not necessarily about right or wrong. It's about the, you know, the collective listening and understanding of the ideas and concepts. I mean, if you look at everything that's built today, it's built with plastic, it's built with electronics. That's the failure point on everything. And if you look at how long these sirens have lasted, I mean, these are from the Cold War. These are from, I mean, these things are 60, 70 years old. And they've lasted this long, and I guarantee you there's probably been minimal maintenance on them over the years. You know, back in the 70s and 60s, I'm sure there was more maintenance money there for things like that. But these they still lasted. So if you look at the big picture of it, of if you find somebody, there's people out there, there's networking that we have today. Use these smartphones, network to the people out there that have all these CNC companies and all this, because there's not a lot of tool and die guys around here anymore. But whoever, you know, I got to imagine there's thousands and thousands of these sirens across the country. So if they figure out a kit or a price to rehab these things and get them working, and okay, so it costs each city their share of a grant price, maybe $60,000, $70,000, $80,000. That's peanuts in the long term, and your return on your investment. If just refurbing one of these things, and they were very simple, they weren't complex with computer boards and all that, and they've lasted this long, I mean, you know, it just goes to say they're going to last that long again. So, you know, I mean, why not? And again, I'm not trying to convince everybody. This is just my perspective on things. You know, the cell phones and the TVs and all that, great. Those are great tools to augment something that, you know, something better. But have you ever lost your phone? I mean, I lost my phone recently, and what a nightmare. I mean, when you've gotten rid of your landline and you've totally did away with all that, you know, just like the landline, you know, it used to be you had your landline, and if the power went out, your phone still worked.
That's true.
You know, if your cell towers go down, or if you're, you know, the electricity goes out or whatever, your TV's not working, we have outages all the time with Verizon. I'm on Verizon, we have outages all the time. I mean, you're getting very, very, very dependent on, you know, technology. I mean, imagine, like, you know, it's just the Chinese now are shooting satellites out of space. You know, they wipe out our satellites or our communications for just a half hour or so. Look at the damage they can do.
Well, I think this is what Dan Clark, city councilman at large, was trying to say the other night, is that this is all well and good to talk about, but the first time that a tornado comes through here and kills people and no sirens went off, that's when the complaints will happen.
Well, sure.
Like I said, it
is something that has worked. It, you know, just the sound of it, it was ingrained. I mean, if you hear a siren coming up on you, you do look. Does everybody today pull over? No, because we've gotten away from that. We've dumbed down society. You know, it's the whole everybody gets a trophy thing. My stepdad was an engineer. He's told me those same stories that your prior caller was talking about, you know, and people do get where they don't listen. But you're never going to find a perfect solution to any problem. You're always going to have pros and cons to everything. You got to find that balance in there. Again, in my opinion.
Yep, I think it's a good point. Thanks for calling.
All right, bud.
All right, and again, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. From another listener out there this morning, you won't know how well these systems prevent unnecessary deaths until they no longer exist. Now, see, that's the point I'm making. It's all well and good that we can have these discussions, but the first time a tornado or some kind of severe weather comes through here and no sirens go off and people are killed, then they're going to say, where were the sirens? They're going to say, where was the warning? And that's what you're going to get. And I don't know that that's a guarantee. As I said with trains, you know, again, you think you could look both ways and see if a train was coming or not. But the first time you take away the crossbars at the train tracks, and somebody gets hit, they're going to say, where are the crossbars at? You know, with school buses, the first time you take away the stop signs and all the signs that say entering a school zone, you think you should know there's a bunch of kids up there playing. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There's a big yellow bus up there. First time a kid gets hit without the signs, you're going to say, where were the signs? Where were the notifications? You know, I think this is the problem. And here we are. Phone lines are open, 47 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, this is one of those kind of chicken and the egg type of things. Why did we ever have sirens to begin with? Why do we have cross bars at train tracks? Why do we have signs and school zones? I'm guessing because they were needed. Now, I guess we can have the question, are they obsolete now? Are they not needed? I don't know, but it certainly seems as if people still want them. And maybe that, more to the point, is the question we're having today. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I'll tell you something, you know, we live in a world now where people cannot get off their cell phones, and they get in car accidents because of them. You know, I have made no secret that I sit in the McDonald's line in the morning, and the line is not moving because people are looking at their cell phone instead of paying attention to the car right in front of them. Now, do we want to become more reliant on the cell phone? I mean, can you imagine if you were in your car and that siren went off because of a tornado? You're driving home from work, you're driving the kids to practice, and that tornado warning alert goes off. I mean, would that cause a problem if you were in the car? Would that cause a problem for the driver if they didn't know you had your phone on in your car? What if you've got your sound turned down? I don't know. I think technology in these cases is not necessarily the best route to go. You know, technology is only as good as what we have in the long run. Okay, let's see. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. From somebody out there this morning, people run the tracks anyway. They do. They absolutely do. And people drive fast through school zones. But the first time somebody's hit, after you would take the crossbars away at the train tracks, or you get rid of the signs in the school zones, that's when people would have a problem. And I think it's the same thing with the sirens at this point. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you've got anything to say, we've got about 11 minutes left in the program, and we would love to have you in on this conversation. Get on in, or anything else. Flock cameras are still a topic of conversation. Getting rid of curbside recycling on July the 5th is still a topic of conversation. All kinds of good stuff. Well, you know what? I have something good to say. The other day, I went over and visited Larry Barnett, and he took me down to the Prospect Park. By the way, Larry Barnett is a very fun man. Funny and fun man. Had a lot of fun on that trip. But has anybody been over to this Prospect Park? My goodness. This thing is first class. They have press boxes. They have beautifully manicured baseball fields. They have, I mean, it looks like pro baseball fields over there, Major League Baseball fields. They have good restroom facilities. They have good shelter houses. This park in Prospect is an absolute jewel, and I can see why people pass levies over there, and I can see why people have such a strong feeling about that park. I don't think we have a park in Marion like that, and I'm not really sure why that is. I was just amazed at the Prospect Park. They are so much smaller than us, and yet that park is really a world-class park. Now, does anybody have anything to say about that? Now, that's an interesting topic. Why can't we get something like that going? And it's my understanding that the Prospect Park is really heavily funded by private donations. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Well, that's an easy one to answer on. I love that question, and you can't understand why. Well, a major league umpire like that and all the publicity he's got, and that's his hometown, and he loves the thing, and he said in public that the year of service that he was an umpire, and he's, after that, he's always over there mowing the grass, and he even got a plunger that he unplugs the toilets so they'd have good clean toilets, and he's the one that's plunging them and getting them clean. I think that was very good. Yeah, that park has always been like that, and he's a great guy that managed that and seen it was done and knowed how it should be, and that's the way it is. So when you get people like that managing things and running things, towns, cities, United States and everything, that's what we can have if you got people running them like that and got their heart in it. So that's my quote on that, that it's the person that's responsible and really cares for it, and Larry Barnett really cares for that, yes.
He does. Thank you. And it he certainly does, but gosh, that is it's a beautiful park. And if you've never been over to the Prospect Park, it's not that far from here. You know what, 20 minutes away? Take a drive over there and just drive through that park. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz. We would love to hear from you this morning. Now, does anybody have any other reasoning for why the Prospect Park is so well-kept and well-manicured and well-taken care of? It is really something to be seen with, I don't know, I was just so, and there's a nice pool over there, by the way, too. It's a basic pool, and the pool's been there since 1949, but it's a nice pool. Go ahead, caller.
I'm not really needling you, Scott, but I remember several times on your show that you said this, and you'll admit to it right now as I'm asking you this question. You can say, I never hardly go to Prospect. Where would you ever go? When you go down to Prospect, where do you go from there? What's Prospect about? Remember those quotes you done like that?
I do. Yes.
Yeah, and then, but you know what? You might be right on your face of that. But you never went over around the ballparks and had one with somebody like Larry Barnett showing you and telling you the details of it, did you?
No, not till Monday.
Made a difference when we kind of judge things about something, but you really don't know the heart of it. And when you learn the heart of it, there's a lot more respect and stuff and feeling, just like you say on your show, if everybody would want to talk about the situation, we would get it handled and stuff pretty good, and that's the way things go. But they sure got out of hand for a while. Thanks, Scott. Bye.
Thank you. All right, again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if you have any thoughts on any of these things. Now, I will say, now, I have said things about that in regard to Prospect, because I don't think it's on the way to anywhere. And maybe this is why I had not seen the park until Monday when Larry took me over there. They also have a beautiful Veterans Memorial in that park as well. But I think, there has to be some attraction in that particular area. And I certainly think that park can be a tremendous, tremendous attraction, and obviously is for a lot of people. They have a big 4th of July show over there. But I don't know what Prospect is on the way to. I've never driven through it on the way to somewhere. Now, maybe I'm going to the wrong places. That could be true as well. But that's just me. Also, LaRue is kind of the same thing. I don't think I've ever had to drive through LaRue to go anywhere. Now, LaRue's interesting, but it's not on a main thoroughfare, I guess is what I want to say. But that's just my thought. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I feel the same. Well, yeah. I used to jump on a certain area. I'm not going to do it this morning. I'm in a feeling, in a good mood. We've only got 4 minutes left in this program. I'm not going to do that. Go ahead, caller.
I will say the last thing about parks. Marion City Parks County are a little iffy, but Marion County, that's out in the county. But Marion City Parks has been for a long time. My brother-in-law, he tended those parks, and he saw that they was mowed good and everything, and they're continuing being there, and every one of them is worth everything that the Marion citizens pay for that look good all the time. Well, I will say that. And Lincoln Park, they're still working on that, putting a walkway around it, I understand. I said something to you about that. If you find out that going to be a showing of that someday, isn't there? I kind of forgot the fundamentals or the times and stuff on that.
Yeah, I believe so. I believe the mayor's going to walk through the park, yeah. I think, when the... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, make sure we find out when that is so everybody can do that. Maybe walk through it and maybe see something and maybe even get to talk to the mayor and walk around with him and... Tell him good job.
Well, here it is. I'll give you the information on that. It's Lincoln Park Leisure Walk with Mayor Collins. Well, it already happened. It was June the 18th. We missed it.
What day was it?
It was June the 18th. It was last week.
I'll be darned. Daggone it. Well, I didn't hear anything on the radio. They didn't announce it to you very much, did they?
No, I never got any. I got all this other information, but I didn't get that one.
Okay, thanks, Scott.
Thank you, bye-bye. All right, so that has already happened. Now, I think Adam ran it on the news report, but other than that, no, I did not get a sheet about that. I got a sheet about all these other events, Red, White, New Weekend, 250, but I did not. Did anybody go on that walk and have a good time? 740-383-9944, that's 740-383-9944. If you got something to say, give us a buzz. We've got a couple minutes left here. If you've been thinking about jumping in, now would be the time to jump in with only a couple minutes left to go. And I appreciate the conversation this morning. I think the back and forth has been very good about why this is good, why this might not be good, why this is a good idea, why this might not be a good idea. You know, we're only going to survive all of this together. We're going to survive it together, and we're going to survive it with collaboration, and I think that's what has happened in a place like Prospect with that great park over there. Collaboration, hard work, and a love for making things better, not settling for how things are. You've always got to want to be better. You might not always get there, but you've got to want to be better. You can't be satisfied with how things are if they're not great. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?